Hello, everyone. Good afternoon or good morning, depending on what part of the country you're in. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Mike Gibb. I run accountsrecovery.net, and I'm really excited to be bringing you today's webinar on 5 ways to use SMS in ARM to increase revenue, not risk. Consumers are more likely to open text messages before any other form of mobile communication today. Those that do take an average of only 90 seconds to respond. In financial services, SMS is of particular interest, as recent studies show 58% of consumers contacted via SMS regarding their debt resulted in a partial payment of their account, while 19% resulted in a full payment. Despite these compelling stats, businesses and highly regulated industries such as financial services remain cautious, awaiting greater clarity from their organizations such as the CFPB. But some are ahead of the curve. Today, we've got a panel of experts with us to share the five ways financial services have figured out how to adopt SMS while mitigating compliance. This webinar is being generously sponsored by Revenly. Let me tell you a little bit now about today's speakers. Boris Grinspun is the General Manager of Digital Solutions at LiveVox Inc. Boris has more than 18 years of experience developing strategy and products focused on driving customer engagement and digital relationship management. His specialties include online customer experience, cross-channel enablement, and CRM implementation. Prior to joining LiveVox, Boris was the Vice President of Strategic Planning and Online Banking at U.S. Bank and founder of Terafina, a leading provider of omnichannel sales solutions with integrated analytics and mobile capabilities. Also with us today is Jim Lynch, who is the Senior Director of Product Marketing at LiveVox. Jim is responsible for developing strategy and products focused on driving customer engagement and digital relationship management. He brings to the table 19 years of operational leadership experience in contact centers driving growth in CX based on data and customer preference. Prior to LiveVox, Jim served as the Chief Operating Officer of the CMI Group, a leading BPO focused on customer care, revenue cycle management, accounts receivable management, and omni-channel communication. The format for today's webinar will be a presentation from Boris and Jim. We encourage everybody to submit questions and we'll get to them when the presentation has concluded. To submit a question, please hit the Q&A button on your Zoom webinar control panel, type in your answer and hit submit, and it's as easy as that. This event is being recorded and a recording will be made available in the next day or so on accountsrecovery.net's webinar recordings page. With that, let me cue Boris and Jim. Are you guys ready to get started?
Yeah, we are.
Excellent. Take it away.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Mike. We appreciate it. So, Boris, I mean, everyone on the line today is probably pretty excited, but also maybe a little bit concerned with really how to get started. So let's just give them a little bit of a primer. Why should people care and why should people really be thinking about this process a little bit different than maybe others have? And the title on the slide is a little bit different, right? Like we're talking about digital is done backwards. So, I mean, what does that mean? Why are we saying it's done backwards and how can we help people understand how to do a little bit different and why it's so important?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, as we look about the landscape of today, we have some inherent knowledge, if you will, of how to do things from a contact center perspective. And largely for us, that has meant largely looking to reach the consumer in a variety of ways, but utilizing phone as a predominant channel. So as these new and emerging channels become available, specifically SMS being adopted in our industry, we're really seeing that people sort of continue to do what they've always traditionally done and now have layered on the SMS component. So in other words, they're doing much of the same, but largely looking at SMS as an additive channel. So it's really sort of after the thought or after the fact of their business as usual activity, which is really, like, if you think about it, whenever you're adding and interweaving new things, you want to understand what their impact will be overall to your business and if that's the most sort of appropriate strategy. And, you know, as we look at the slide and specifically a recent study that's been done by McKinsey, what's telling about this particular piece is that majority of folks are still thinking about it as a layered on approach versus thinking about it as a cause and effect approach and maybe rethinking their overall consumer contact strategy holistically. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense, Jim?
Yeah, totally. So when you think about it, though, we think about a couple different types of people on the phone. We have, you know, some BPOs that are on there today. We have some enterprises that are on there today. Some creditors are on today. So when you think about this, why is it so important for them to think about it differently instead of just laying it on or it being the last contact? Why should they be thinking about their process a little different?
Yeah, because, you know, SMS as a channel can bring a lot of valuables, but maybe at some point it can't actually replace voice conversations as well. So as you think about an SMS, there should be a particular strategy that it should help drive for your contact center today. Now, a little bit later on in the presentations, we'll talk about some of these use cases, but to give people a little bit of a sneak preview is, what are you intending for the consumer to do with the SMS message specifically? In other words, are you intending for some sort of a self-service interaction? Are you intending for a notification that would occur without any conversation sort of going backwards, back and forth? Like, what is your intent after that consumer receives a particular message from your business? Mm-hmm. And I think thinking about that up front and almost outlining your, if you will, ideal consumer journey is of great help back to your point of understanding when is SMS in play, what kind of messaging should be in play, how will we track our successful results off of that. Thinking through that early on, I think, is imperative for an organization.
I think that's pretty spot on. If we think about that, the planning piece of this is probably the most important. A lot of people go into this project thinking, great, I'm going to do SMS. Well, the next question is, well, what do you mean? What journey are you going to impact? What KPI for your business are you going to impact? But really knowing your customers and then knowing the reasons that they reach out to your brand today is probably the most important, right?
Correct.
So one of the next stats I will look at on the next pages is really just around, you know, do you really understand your customer? Do you know who your customer is? And that's probably one of the biggest points, right? So when we start thinking about, you know, we're thinking about these generational, sometimes there's gaps there with technology. Sometimes people are picking up technology at a quicker pace than others. So talk to me and everybody a little bit about, you know, why it's so important to know your customer, and then maybe just a couple of stats that they can take away.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we and a lot of our clients and our organizations already do this to some degree today, right? We always have this notion of slicing, dicing our portfolios, right? We know our high-risk accounts. We know our low-risk accounts. We know our likely to pays, less likely to pays. We're already doing a lot of work from that standpoint of creating a strategy that revolves around who the consumer is, what their pay history has been like. Well, I think this isn't traditionally that much different, but this is sort of layering on the additional filter of things onto it to now look at contactability. And I think a lot of folks on the phone sort of remember the days of the past. You know, we used to do sort of propensity to pick up the phone lists, and we would put those kind of segmentations on it. The question becomes, why aren't we doing the same thing from a channel response perspective as well? If we know there's a certain subset of a population based on their demographic, maybe socio-demographic information, that's likely to engage with me utilizing another channel, or that's sort of generally their preferred channel, why would we not utilize that today? I mean, we have a lot of these tools that are already there today. Why not apply what we already know today and some of the stats show here on this page today in order to be able to be more effective in doing this?
It's probably really important. So everyone on the phone today, they're up against a couple battles. One of those, you know, they're required, if they're in ARM, you know, they're required to send a letter on every account that's placed, right?
Correct.
So when we talk about that segmentation, it's probably really important to not think that, like, we go over some great stats. We show, oh, the response rate is really high. Oh, the read rate is really high. But you should really be thinking about how you're going to put this into your account strategy using scoring and segmentation, but knowing that this isn't a silver bullet. Like, you're not going to solve all your problems just because, you know, you started using SMS as a channel. So when we talk about some of these top five ways to use it, I think that's probably pretty important just to keep that in mind. You know, the digital first, persona that people have, how it results in more payments. You know, we heard that, you know, even in the intro that Mike gave us today, how it's helping the payments. And, you know, we're seeing that definitely from our side too. A lot of clients are utilizing SMS, and wow, I mean, the results have been wonderful, but, you know, we still caution people on doing it the right way. So, you know, on this one, we do talk a little bit about 12% more payments for us, but what are a couple other things to think about? How do you want to increase your chance of engagement? You know, I know we're going to talk about a couple areas, but anything you want to add right here?
Yeah, I actually want to piggyback. Are you a football fan, Jim, by any chance?
Of course.
Yeah, all right. So
kind of right now.
So, you know, the way that I think about the overall strategy, it's a little bit like a game, a little bit of inches, right? It's perfecting and honing in that secret sauce of your segmentation strategy. And I only gravitate to that point that you made because I think you said it spot on. It's not like a silver bullet. All of a sudden, I'm just going to take SMS off the shelf. I'm going to contact my consumers in that way, and suddenly things will improve. You know, in certain pockets, they will certainly improve. In certain pockets, they may stay flat. What we see is that certain pockets tend to respond really, really well. And of course, this differs depending on the type of business you're in. If you're a direct creditor, if you are in first party, third party, arm work as well. But what we do see is that there's a great amount of consistency in terms of getting some sort of a reaction from consumers, specifically in segments that have largely already adopted SMS as a communication channel from their business. And we're seeing that from a payment perspective as well, sort of if you look at your contact population, your responders, you know, your right party connect, if you will, and then, of course, how many of those people make a payment, sort of like a trickle-down effect of sorts that occurs. And so from that perspective, I'm coming back to the game of inches, is that what you're going to discover as you adopt this SMS strategy is that some people will do really well with it, and then you'll start to carve out additional parts and pieces that do even better, and you will perfect and refine the strategy so that way you're only sending SMS messages to people who this channel is right for, if you know what I mean, Jim. So I think that's a pretty important point to point out to folks, that you just can't sort of make a blanket statement across everything that SMS will help with absolutely everything.
Awesome. Well, I know we're about to get into the top five ways to use it. We're going to talk about some specific use cases that people have. We're also going to talk about some practical ways on how to really implement that and what other stages that you need. But, you know, to be respectful, you know, Mike, I think we want to pause here for a second, you know, to give a chance for, you know, to thank our sponsor today. So maybe now is a good time for that.
Absolutely. I'd like to bring Josh Allen from Revenly to say a few words. Josh?
Cool. Thanks, guys. And already a really good start to the presentation. I like it. So Revenly decided to put on this six-part series, Digitize Your Collections, to help bring together some innovative companies like LiveVox, who we felt should take some center stage in your 2020 planning for new technology, or at least for new pieces of technology. So this is the third event in our series, and you'll see the final three in January. A little bit about Revenly. Revenly is a digital first consumer focused platform that's focused on meeting the demands of today's payer and has the ability, proven ability, to lift collection revenue anywhere from 5 to 25% by focusing on channel orchestration in order to collect contact preferences, opt-ins, payments, and more in a way that consumers trust. And then I'll hand it back to you guys now that my little infomercial is done.
Awesome. No, we really appreciate that and appreciate you having us today. So thank you so much. All right, Boris, so let's get into it. Some top five ways to use SMS. And you know, maybe one thing to think about is that because the audience is so broad, you know, some of these categories are going to be a little bit broad and high, but then we're also going to get into some details, especially in our conversations here on maybe how we see some brands that have used that today. And that's probably one thing to really think about, you know, as we go forward. A lot of people on the phone, you know, we talked about how do we increase revenue maybe without increasing risk. So I just want to call out one other thing, and this is probably a message to some of those BPOs, is that, you know, of course we'll talk about this, but brands are struggling today. Like, there's always reasons and always, you know, maybe IT is just overloaded. They know that consumers want to speak this way. So I'll tell you, like, all the people on the phone that are somewhere at a BPO shop, it's so important to get ahead of this as well, because the opportunity that sits out there in the enterprise market is huge. I mean, we're talking about big banks, big retailers, you name it. You go to their website, you're looking at the contact us page, you're seeing that primarily a lot of people are still using phone. Some people are using email. But a lot of these processes are really disjointed. But we know that the favorite way to communicate these days, I mean, Boris, we talk about this sometimes.
That's right.
It's so bad. We end up texting our parents happy birthday or something like that.
Right.
But hopefully we follow up with a phone call. But yeah, we still send the message to get started. So people use it every day to communicate with their friends and family. It's so important that we start to integrate the way that our brands communicate with people in that way. So let's look at the first one. And this is probably, you know, one that a lot of people have today, right, Boris? Like, I get a lot of them on my phone. You get a lot of them. But let's talk about reminders a little bit and some ways that some of our clients are using them and other brands that we deal with every day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this one is not a surprise. One of the easiest ways that you can adopt SMS in terms of what you do today is specifically in the account reminder area. I'll give some examples of it in just a moment. But first of all, the question becomes, well, why account reminders via SMS? Well, first of all, you have high delivery rates. So the probability that your message is going to be read and you're going to call out a specific sort of people call to action, and I'll talk a little bit about that fact, it just has a high rate of delivery, but it also has a high rate of persistency. People keep their SMS messages for a fairly long time in their phone history, and that message is kind of sticky. And the reason I say that is that there's probably a number of folks on the phone who either may leave voicemail messages, may not leave voicemail messages from more of a compliance component. Some people also do voicemail drops. We're aware of that as well. And so this is actually a nice alternative potentially to any one of those strategies that has a high delivery component, has sort of a high sticky component that's right in front of the consumer. And it also allows the consumer a lot of flexibility to be able to either respond via that channel, respond to that SMS, or to take care of that particular need, if you will, at a later point in time.
And maybe, so let's expand on that a little bit. Because right now, a lot of brands are sending out appointment reminders. So, you know, when you go to talk to someone about this, they might say, oh, we already text.
Yeah.
Well, then the next question is, do you really? Because one of the points that you made there is,
right,
let's just pretend we're sending someone a payment reminder.
Right.
Payment reminder says that, hey, the payment's going to come out on December 24th, Christmas Eve, we're about to take the money. And you're like, oh no, like I really want to use that money for something else.
Right.
But you want to respond back to the brand and say, hey, I'm not going to be able to make that payment. What are maybe some other options? Right now, if you respond, most of the time you don't get a response back from the brand, right?
Correct.
So let's just talk about, you know, some of these. Why is it so important to not just send a notification, but also enable the two-way communication back from a customer? Why is that so important?
I think it's important because if it's not easy, if it's not frictionless communication, it's actually, I'm going to forget about it. And so, you know, when things are a little bit hard to do, people just quit or they give up on that particular process. And you see that, I see that there's a lot of similarity between this, and we'll come back to this particular topic as well, but when it's hard for the consumer to do, they won't go through it. The reason I bring up other industry examples is that you have examples like Amazon that made the process of checkout or buy as frictionless as possible. We've made other processes, you know, ordering a vehicle or getting food delivered as frictionless as possible. How can we make all of these points of communication as frictionless as possible? And the reason I also bring this up is that, you know, let's think about that particular consumer and what happens to them if they receive a one-way communication and they'll look to respond, but it won't be ideal. Well, maybe they'll contact your contact center. Obviously, their SMS response won't go anywhere. So now they may call if, you know, they have particular time. They may wait in queue if that's the reason. They may not call at all. They may try to go online and try to change their payment plan. Maybe that's hard. Maybe that's easy. But majority of instances, what it's going to result in is the consumer potentially just kind of putting their head, if you will, in the sand and not doing much of anything. Mm-hmm. Well, that actually has cost and implications to your organization, right? Because if the consumer doesn't do anything, if they ignore your payment confirmation, if they can't reply and reset it easily, you'll end up trying to contact the consumer again. They'll grow frustrated. You'll have a broken promise, obviously, on your books, and you'll actually end up incurring a lot of costs getting back in touch with that consumer because of the fact that you didn't make it easy.
That's right. And they already proved that it works. I mean, they got the notifications to do it. But, I mean, there were some crazy stats that we looked at over the past couple months. People that were only doing one-way notifications.
Yeah.
But the percentages of people that were actually responding, even though they didn't know, they just expect brands to be able to communicate that way. So, I mean, there's...
We see, you know, obviously this is different for different organizations, Jim, and we see anywhere between 10 to 15% of the messages that are being sent initiate some sort of a response back into the contact center where the consumer is trying to follow up. Now, what I did want to also mention about an account reminder sort of notification is the variety of ways that it could be delivered, but also a variety of content that it could entail within itself. Obviously, you can, of course, send this out as a campaign. You can also do click to SMS where you're manually having, you know, a set number of reminders being sent out by your agents in a click, in a sort of a manual fashion. Those are two ways that you can initiate this. But also the body of the message is so, so important. What is it that you expect the consumer to do? Are you expecting them to say, hey, you know, let's have a two-way conversation? Are you expecting them to go to a particular URL and schedule a payment, or do you have a payment portal set up for that today? You expect them to call you. You need to be sort of very, very, very explicit in terms of what your quote-unquote call to action is, and I use air quotes here, although people can't see me, because it's very important for you to understand the impact of that and track that impact. If you're driving people back to your website, how many people receive the message? How many people will flow into your payment portal? How many people will essentially finish that, if you will, digital checkout process versus how many phone numbers will you call? So I think it's important for clients to understand all of those metrics because it helps them to better inform their decisions of what messages are working or resonating with certain populations.
And it should be a goal. So if you think about it, we go back to that planning we talked about before we got in the top five, the planning of the customer journey and really what action you're taking or looking to take, that's probably the most important. And one of those goals would be, we know that calls into the contact center is probably one of the most expensive servicing items that any brand has. Any brand with a large contact center knows every voice call is a one-to-one interaction. That's all that they can do. So we're going to go through, I know there's a couple other spots here, but think about reminders. Don't just think of it as a payment reminder. I mean, you, depending on your client, you might have appointments that they're setting to make sure there's, you know, a seat in that chair so they're generating revenue all the time. So how do you optimize some of that? So think about reminders, lots of ways. Think about it, you know, put your consumer hat on yourself and think about, wow, it would have been nice if they would have just let me know, you know, my flight's delayed or I had to cancel this or a power outage. We're going to talk about some of that stuff later.
Jim, do people ever tell you that you think a lot like a marketer?
Yeah, and I think that's one thing. I think that's why you find some that are really successful out there, especially in the arm.
Yeah.
Is that when you start to play this out where it's no different. Like when you're doing receivables management, it's no different than marketing, think about it. You're trying to talk someone into taking an action, right? You're selling them on the idea to take an action, but none of that matters if you can't communicate with them.
Right.
So you can come up with the very best offer, the very best contact strategy, the very best orchestration that's going to deliver these messages between channels seamlessly, but if you don't have a setup that you can communicate to them in that channel, you're just going to fail anyway. So we did talk about reminders a little bit, and now we're talking about payment confirmations. Why is this so important? Why do people care?
Well, you know, talking to a lot of our clients, there's a couple of particular use cases that really sort of resonated and bubbled up to the top. One of the best use cases that bubbled up to the top that we heard from our clients is the fact that there's always a conversation that occurs, or voice conversation that occurs between an agent and the consumer at the other end. There's an arrangement of sorts that's made. It seems like everything went well during the conversation, but then a week later, 2 weeks later, a month later, there's a phone call that comes back into the contact center where the consumer is upset. Maybe they're frustrated because the payment date was set, you know, for the wrong time frame, for the wrong amount. It isn't exactly what was communicated back and forth between the consumer and your contact center agent. And so what we find a lot with our clients, they find that it really provides greater transparency between what's sort of happening in the contact center back out to the consumer. And so we have a number of our clients today that are confirming what was talked about and sending a quick SMS saying, hey, we just made a payment arrangement for this many dollars for these dates. And it helps you really to sort of reinforce that message. And it keeps a track record and a history of confirmation between the two parties. So that way you can really reduce complaints, reduce your customer service issues related to, if you will, miscommunication. Jim, I know you've done this before. So like, did that ever happen in your contact center before?
Yeah, it definitely happens where right. people are calling in asking for a receipt. But if you also think about just the climate that's happening today, is that, you know, news stories all the time, we're going out. I mean, a lot of the brands that we deal with are talking about, hey, everyone's trying to block my phone calls, my legitimate phone calls that are coming through, they're trying to block them.
Yeah.
So like, there's lots of areas that people are frustrated with there. So how can we do that? It really does layer in or adds another layer of trust to that, right? If I'm taking a payment on the phone, you know, hey, you might talk to your uncle, brother, sister, whatever, and they're like, I can't believe you gave your payment information over the phone. You know, that's a real concern for people these days. So you adding that additional layer of trust where it's a payment confirmation immediately to every customer that you do, I think that adds, you know, just adds a lot to it.
And I would sort of double down on this as well. And a lot of people may ask me, like, Boris, what's the pretense in this as well? It's kind of a little bit of a circular loop. The pretense is that not only are you legitimizing your organization, this also gives a great opportunity for your organization to be able to capture SMS consent. Now, this may be a little bit different for enterprise organizations versus first party versus third party, but during that conversation, you can always indicate to the consumer this notion of, is it okay that I text you? We're on a recorded line. Is it okay that I take your phone number and we send you proactive communication going forward on your account about this? What we find is that there's a large tendency for consumers to agree to this notion, which not only helps you, of course, deliver that immediate message or that immediate payment confirmation message or arrangement message, it actually sets you up for success from a go-forward standpoint where you can start to utilize some of that mass SMS capability going forward in a compliant manner.
Yeah, and that's probably really important is to think about the T's and C's that people have set up, you know, in their contracts already right. or their agreements with the consumers. If they haven't looked at this, which I think many have, right? TCPA isn't anything new.
Right.
People are out there, they're looking at it. Their legal teams have already taken steps to mitigate the risk by adding some things to their T's and C's. But, I mean, what are some other things, Boris, that people really need to think about in terms of, you know, from a compliance standpoint? So we're not telling anyone, hey, just go out there today and send, you know, 100,000 messages to all of your customers that say whatever you want.
Right.
I mean, there's some things for people to think about. And, you know, now might be just a good time to take a couple of seconds to talk about that.
Correct. Well, first of all, there's a lovely document there that's also about 30 pages long called the CTIA Guidelines. And you should really also look into that as well, because I think the combination of what you just mentioned, the notion of TCPA and the CTIA have to be both considered as you're thinking about sending SMS messages. The way that you send them, the way that you've captured consent, I think you alluded spot on, Jim, that taking a look at your T's and C's is pretty important. Also understanding the transfer of consent portion is really important, specifically related to CTIA guidelines and what they think about that as well. And lastly, I think people also should think a little bit about how the carriers think about their traffic. What will the carriers do? How are they filtering traffic? I think at some point in the future, we should have a webinar specifically on the topic of message delivery and all of those particular components, because that's another hour conversation.
That's right.
That we could get into. But but if you think of all of those things, if you think about consent, if you think a little bit about your message, if you think about the way that you're going to deliver all of these things, I think you really should have a game plan. And for all the folks on the phone, that game plan is going to be very different whether you're an enterprise, first party, or third party organization. And it's a very fluid space. I'll say this to you, Jim, because as we are seeing this evolve, we're also seeing the carriers react sometimes in favorable and sometimes unfavorable manner. Mm-hmm. One thing, of course, is, you know, at LiveVox, we pride ourselves in sort of having these relationships. You know, perhaps if folks are interested, we could have another conversation about what does the changing landscape look like, you know, with or not out, like within collections and not within collections from an SMS perspective.
Yeah, that's probably important to think about is that, you know, if you have questions, you know that you're wanting to get started. Like we said at the beginning, a lot of people throw up some walls on why not to get started or, right. You know, pitfalls. You know, I would say no matter who the expert is, make sure you're reaching out to an expert, talking through some of this stuff instead of just saying, hey, I'm launching an SMS program. There's a lot to think about. But, you know, one of the areas that's really neat, I think, for the next use case that we have, especially when you think about cost. So we're going to flip this on its head a little bit. We talked about how do we drive revenue and, you know, without increasing risk. But sometimes you have to look at your contact centers a little bit like, it is a cost center. It's very expensive. Every phone call that we have is very, very expensive. So how can we do some of that? How can we make customers happier by not making them wait on hold and also increase our agent efficiency where we don't have to just speak one-to-one? So I know this is obviously labeled, it's pretty self-explanatory, but redirect wait time traffic. What does that even mean, Bor? So we're calling in, I'm calling a brand, I'm going on hold, which is already gets people upset, right? I'm probably, I'll admit freely on this webinar, I'm probably one of the most impatient people you're ever gonna meet. So I don't like to wait on hold anyway, but let's just pretend I'm on hold now. What are some other options that we have that are gonna increase customer satisfaction and probably reduce some overall costs for your contact center?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we've heard a lot from our clients is that, you know, I hit these busy blocks in the middle of the day. As you've said, I have a lot of calls that queue up, but they're not necessarily immediate issues that need, you know, absolutely immediate resolution. There are, of course, people that want to talk to me and get an issue resolved. So how do I direct them into a more efficient channel from that standpoint? So what we see a lot of clients is really incorporating an SMS strategy within their call IVR. And so what they'll do is they'll offer a deflection point from a voice channel into an SMS channel where there's, of course, an opportunity to do asynchronous communication. Your agents can do multiple messages at the same time in order to service multiple customers. And we find that that's pleasing to the consumer with the notion that, hey, somebody didn't make me just hang out and wait. They responded right away to me. And we see a fairly high takeout rate in terms of when you offer this as a channel to consumers, then saying, hey, yeah, I'm okay with texting right now instead of continuing to wait. I don't have those metrics, you know, right on the spot here, Jim, but the acceptance rates are fairly high on these particular programs.
Yeah, I've definitely done some programs where I've had over 50% of the people opting out to move down an SMS channel.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a couple weird things to think about. I don't want people to liken SMS to web chat.
Right.
Because it's not. Web chat, you're there, you're tied to your browser, you're thinking, hey, I need to wait for that agent's response. And you're kind of waiting to see those next three little dots pop up.
Right.
SMS, it doesn't work that way, right? I'm messaging a brand. Okay, I just gave you my problem. And when you think about how you message your friends and family, like actually we were texting right before this meeting, and then you just throw your phone in your pocket, continue with your meeting, and then you just pick it up.
Correct.
When you're ready to pick it up. And that's the benefit of SMS and really getting into a true asynchronous type communication.
Correct.
That's it.
Yeah.
So you got to think of SMS and web chat totally different. Your strategy should be different. Your staffing plan should be different. But just imagine if you're going in and you're for some of the people on the phone out there, let's think about your costs. A lot of the time you're going to be thinking about things like average handle time, the call volume that comes in. You're going to see spikes maybe in the morning before people go to work, maybe in the afternoon at lunchtime, again, when people get off. When you start to move this thing to SMS, that changes because people have their phone all the time at work. Now they're not willing to pick up the phone to have a conversation that, you know, could be embarrassing sometimes depending on the scenario.
Right.
So how could I have that? But I still need to communicate with the brand. How could I do that? You enable things like web chat or SMS. And, you know, SMS is really starting to be a relevant channel out there. The next one we talk about is proactive customer notifications. So this is a little bit different, right?
Correct.
We're thinking like, hey, what's going to drive a lot of traffic to my contact center where people could be irate, right? Someone might be upset. So let's just use that maybe as an example for some proactive customer notifications. I mean, you're here in California.
Yep.
Sometimes it could happen, right? There's some, is there power thing sometimes for us? I don't know.
Yeah, we heard a little bit about high winds and in California, but all jokes aside, I think this is really a good use case if you want to plan accordingly and have a great strategy for your business. And I'll bring up a couple of examples. I think you brought up a great one, Jim, around natural disasters that could occur, whether it's in hurricane zones, whether it's in earthquake zones, such as California, where you can send out notifications and sort of prepare people for that. You can prepare them for power outages. You can prepare them for certain things. We also see this quite often happening in the financial services industry. When you know you have a population of consumers that are utilizing your online mobile banking services, maybe if that system has an outage or downtime, or you're experiencing difficulties or a certain branch maybe closed, or maybe you want to notify even your own employees of something that's happening, that's an adverse, if you will, effect on your contact center, you can actually prevent and get ahead of having your contact center have enormous wait times. We see this quite often with sort of enormous brands, specifically in the flight industry, sending these notifications. But what we're seeing is that there is a large rush to deliver better service by being proactive with a message to the consumer. And again, you're able then to deflect this volume. You can deflect them to a status page. You can deflect somebody to a particular URL to maybe change things on their account. You can say, hey, look, we think that this is going to go from this time to this time, and therefore you are potentially avoiding this, if you will, bottleneck within your call center to deliver quite the same message over and over to the consumer anyways that you could have done proactively had you kind of gotten a little bit ahead of this.
Good. Yeah. So when I think about what we've covered so far, but you know, a lot of people on the phone are probably like, yeah, we know this, but just to cover, we covered account reminders, gave some, examples there, payment confirmations, redirecting wait time traffic, proactive customer notifications. And then really all this really gets to, Boris, is you have to be able to start a conversation. That's the most important thing, right?
Correct.
Whether you're marketing, whether you're growing your brand, whether you're just trying to increase customer satisfaction, whatever it is, you have to enable the customer to be able to start a conversation with you, or you might be sending out that notification to the customer.
Correct.
So all the time, Boris, like we travel the country together and we talk to brands all the time. Everyone knows, maybe even some of those use cases, they're like, hey, I really want to get started there. I don't even have any clue where to get started, how to get started. So, you know, I wouldn't call it a shameless plug, but share a little bit about, you know, how we make it easy, or even if it's some suggestions on just what to look for when you're evaluating how to get started.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you want to look at whatever SMS programs you're going to do holistically and think about them as a strategic fit within your contact center. Where will I plug them in? What results will I want to get? How will it work with all of my other channels of communication? Meaning how will it work with everything I do from a voice, email, maybe chat, as you mentioned earlier, perspective, like what role will SMS play in my overall contact strategy? How will all of this data flow together in a place where I can see it or I could show it to my employees? So that way they have as good of a continuity as my consumer knows, as my consumer does, if you will. You obviously want to make sure that you're staying within the realms of compliance. We know there's probably folks on from different industries with different use cases. Each one may have a slight differentiation. And so whether you TCPA is a concern for you, whether it's less of a concern for you, whether you have the right documentation already in place today, I think you should have somebody on the other side or an SMS partner that's reviewing that with you and is providing you best practices. And I think ultimately, Jim, it's also operationalizing this. So beyond, you know, picking a phone number to text from a short code, beyond the strategy portion of it, it's the operational execution that you should think a little bit about as well, which is how will this come into my contact center? What are my rules, if you will, for engaging via SMS when there's specifically a conversation which topics will I discuss? How will I properly authenticate the consumer? When will I escalate to phone conversations? Or how will I go from phone to voice? Are all things that you have to figure out. And obviously we have a lot of
apology there for a second, because that's probably one of the most important things that we hear from people is that, hey, some people are doing chat, some people are doing SMS.
Yeah.
But then when the customer does escalate to voice, which is, that's where they escalate to all the time. They might send an email, they might tweet at you, they might do something, but they're calling you.
Correct.
They're really upset someone's calling you. One of the most frustrating points that we hear from customers are, I just went over all this via SMS, or I just went over this via chat, and that voice agent not having the visibility on what just happened in that conversation.
Correct.
And we're talking some of the largest brands for us still struggle with this. So why is it so important to break down those silos when you're building out this strategy?
Well, I think what you're saying is that continuity is a customer frustration point, and we actually hear that quite a bit. And we hear that quite a bit from not only the customer saying it's a frustration point, it's the employees within a contact center that are super frustrated by this as well. Not knowing what your customer knows already puts you behind the eight ball. It creates a lot of inefficiency within your organization, and this is something you should look out for, because these are the friction points that can make or break your program specifically. So it's, as you said, it's imperative.
Good. All right, so start a conversation. You're probably going to hear a lot about that, you know, just that little short sentence there from us. And then, so in closing, we have some key takeaways that we're going to leave you with. So, of course, I mean, the first one that we talk about here, consumers are engaging differently. Not adapting will leave you behind. So we've heard some of this before, right? So we've heard that, and we've given some examples.
Right.
Like, just think of maybe some of the banks that you might have had, or the personal story that you have. Give us an example of, you know, hey, if you're not doing this, everybody else is. You're going to be left behind, and you know, a year or two from now, who even knows what it looks like 5 years from now? But I mean, the time is now. So let's just give an example.
Well, I have an interesting client, and I think this kind of speaks to this, because I think it's a great sort of great component of what happens if you're not quick to adopt. We have an organization actually that's utilizing fairly effectively the notion of sending an SMS message to a consumer during the loan origination process. And what's interesting about this particular use case is that there's sort of a little bit of a race and a competition who can get to the consumer first around a particular offer. And what's interesting is that when you look at getting to the consumer first and getting them to engage quickly, the difference between being, you know, having something and having nothing, meaning having a loan originated and having a loan non-originated, is a matter of minutes and sometimes seconds.
Sure.
And so what we see is that if you are not offering an easy to use service to your consumers, they will do something else. I know there's a lot of folks here on the phone who are, of course, in the arm space. As folks know, when consumers run into problems, they're not only running into problems with you, but they're running into problems with potentially other creditors. To some degree, it's a little bit of a race for consumers' mind share.
Yeah.
And so if you're not racing to get there, if you're not making it easy, you're potentially leaving money on the table, and you could be just a little bit more effective in terms of providing this.
And then we talk about, you know, how do you integrate it into your workflow today? You know, we say think like a consumer. We talked about put your consumer hat on earlier today.
I was going to say they should put their marketing hat on, Jim. Like, you certainly think this way. And I think as you layer on different experiences for our clients and prospects, I actually think a lot of folks should think like you.
I think as people go out and they use that marketing twist, and then they make their, like if they're a BPO and they're talking to their clients, and they just make them put on their consumer hat. Most of the time, those leaders, those executive leaders at these large brands are going to tell you their pain points and say, hey, I wish I could really just do X, Y, and Z.
Correct.
Or if you say, hey, if you could text message your brand right now, what would you want to text about? They're going to give you 2, 3, 4 use cases, and then you come back and say, what if I could make that easy for you?
Correct.
Because some people are like, hey, I don't have the people to respond to this. What am I going to do? And that's another challenge, right? People need to think about what type of people are going to be able to multitask when they're typing, or when they're going to use a bot. I mean, there's lots of things to do there. And then, you know, force, TCPA, consent, human intervention. I mean, let's hit on that for a minute, and then we'll open up for some questions.
Yeah, absolutely. First, I'll piggyback a little bit on what you were talking about in the conversation that you were urging our folks here for on the webinar to think a little bit about. I think this is the differentiation about making your organization, especially if you're in the BPO space, think like a strategic advisor and you value-added service to your clients versus just executing regarding already a predefined program. So when you're coming to the table, certainly when folks come to the table, when they engage with LiveVox, and they come back with program ideas around how you can optimize a particular piece, there's certainly a different relationship you start building, because it feels like that person sitting on the other side of the table is a little bit more invested versus just, you know, executing somewhat of a narrow function. So for a lot of folks, you should think of a lot about that because that could really differentiate you from the crowd, if you will. Mm-hmm. As far as the compliance piece, I think this is important. We mentioned the TCPA, we mentioned the CTAA. There is a lot there to think about, whether it's blacklisting, message filtering, consent capture, opt-ins, opt-outs, do not SMS list management, deactivation list management. All of those things are very, very important. Of course, not here to promote necessarily LiveVox, but we have a team full of experts that can help clients think through those things. We urge you, of course, whether it's us or somebody else, to think a lot about that as well. We want you to be successful. So think about all of those things, understand the implications, and pick a partner who can really be a partner and advise you on approach.
Yeah, and the only last thing I'll throw in there that's not really TCPA related,
yep.
You got to think about the content that's in the messages,
yeah.
Either that you're asking people to provide you or that you're providing them over SMS. So you think about the things that might get you in trouble from like a PCI certification,
that's right.
Or HIPAA or any other violations. So think about the, you know, private consumer information that you might not want to be sending over SMS.
Because
we see people still try to do that. You know, hey, just, you know, send your credit card information over text. Like, I probably wouldn't want to do that.
I think that's a bad idea. That's,
yeah.
A bad idea.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
So think about those, really, you know, get your security team involved there. And hey, let's, I think this was good for us. Hopefully we gave everyone, you know, some good information. Let's open up there and see if we have any questions out there.
Yeah, actually, thank you, Boris and Jim. That was a great presentation. Really appreciate it. We do have a few questions already in the queue. For anybody else who's listening, if you have a question for Boris or Jim, now is probably your best and last chance to type it into the Q&A window on your Zoom webinar control panel. Going back to what you were talking about before with respect to the CTIA guidelines, the question was, aren't they just guidelines? They really aren't law. Maybe you want to clarify what you were talking about a little bit with respect to that.
Yeah, that is true. CTIA is an industry or a carrier body. It is absolutely true that they are not laws. Having said that, and however, that is the governing body that controls whether your messages will end up at the consumer's handset. So if you may not be breaking any laws, but you may have a short window of sending SMS messages if you're not compliant with them. It starts everything from obtaining a short code, which is more of a message for enterprise organizations who are readily able to do that. For other organizations, if you're aware of shared short codes are sort of going away, or that the industry has moved away from that, that's deemed non-compliant any longer. There's also other considerations as you think about messages being sent over toll-free or local numbers that have anything to do with throughput, the content of the message, which in essence is being filtered. And so there's guidelines specifically in the CTIA that give you a little bit of a hint in terms of what is deemed appropriate or inappropriate messages. Obviously, you also have to look out for complaints related to consumers complaining against any particular number. And that sort of, if you will, in a nutshell, is this fuzzy bag that is the CTIA from the standpoint that they provide guidelines. They are enforced at times. We haven't necessarily seen teeth again from the CTIA back to any given organization, but what I will say is that we have seen teeth from a deliverability standpoint of messages. But that's an excellent question.
Absolutely excellent. Thank you. Another question, why is delivery another conversation? What about it requires attention?
Jeremy. Yeah, so during the conversation, Boris, we talked about deliverability being a whole nother option. So when we talk about that, you think about, you know, when you're going out to apply for a short code, it's not just like, hey, I want a short code, give me a short code. There's a lot of things that you have to do there. And then carriers are really controlling the deliverability. You could send out a lot of messages, but what are some of the things that people need to think about as they go to apply? You know, they're going to get very specific messaging or the use case, how people opted in, things like that. But then let's just talk about maybe you saw a use case before or heard of one in the industry that got people short code shut down where they were sending them out, but carriers weren't delivering them to a handset.
Yeah, so I think there's a whole life cycle of approval through the short code, and I don't want to oversell the short code path only from the standpoint that it is very difficult to get one. Traditionally, the industry has sort of played a little bit of a double standard in that they have explicitly indicated, and it's indicated also in the CTA guidelines around, you know, short code traffic not necessarily being approved for collection purposes. However, 800 number or local caller ID traffic doesn't have those same restrictions. But if you think of short code as pre-approved sort of highway that you can run very quickly through, you have 800 number traffic that's not quite a highway. However, what happens there is messages get filtered. And maybe this is alluding to the delivery question, is that the construct of your message, the speed of your message, the frequency of your message are being controlled by algorithms that are built in by the carriers. And each carrier has a little bit of a different algorithm. And so what's important is for you to understand how your message affects those algorithms and make sure that you're monitoring with the right tools your deliverability rates. So, and then there's certain nuances, right? Putting everything in caps and sending out many thousands of messages is a very quick way for you to get filtered out of the carrier traffic as an example of what not to do. We could have a whole session.
Yeah, that's probably why we said it was going to be, we could have an hour conversation about just deliverability.
Yeah.
And, you know, just so people understand on the phone too, when you go to apply for a short code, you're not doing it one for, you know, it's going to every carrier
Correct. Is
approving the short code. And then there's some carriers out there that, hey, they don't even accept that traffic.
Correct.
So
exactly. That's
why, you know, reverting back to a long code or 800 number
could be
beneficial. But yeah, we do think that's probably, it could be hours long conversation, but that's one that we would definitely say, you know, if you have interest and you're really looking to get started, you feel like something's a blocker, you know, go ahead and reach out to the team.
Okay, excellent. One more question. How do you recommend giving required state notices when you're texting with it, given the limits of type, you know, how long a message can be?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think some people are solving for that by sending a short URL or a URL to some type of document, but that's one that you'll definitely want to, you know, speak to your legal team. And this is probably one of those scenarios that, hey, you're going to really have to think about this if you're looking to just replace that. I'm assuming you're thinking that you're just going to replace some letters or something, you know, with that question. So that's probably one of the more difficult to really think through if you're not already doing some type of web delivery process for your letters, like you're sending it through a secured link via email. Something to think about, could you move that over to an SMS? Probably. So think about that, and then think about those journeys. Remember, SMS doesn't fit. It's not one size fits all. It really is thinking about that customer journey, planning every single step, making sure it's processed by, you know, your legal team. You know, Boris, the team here that we have of consultants, they definitely, you know, have some recommendations on how to get around some of that and some best practices. So if that's something that you're thinking about, think about that journey, think about the others, and definitely reach out.
Okay. Another question, how do you handle consent revocation? Any suggestions or best practices?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So So again, pointing back to our favorite document, which is the CTIA, there's of course mandated terms that need to be handled already today. The CTIA of course provides them. There are terms like stop, unsubscribe, and cancel. Those actually must be, and it's mandatory that you text the consumer after they've replied with that keyword for you. You of course need a system that can handle those responses and ensure that they are processed in your system, that you have visibility of that as well. We also see a number of customers taking a little bit of a different path as well, and they're actually proactively widening the number of terms. So you can include other terms that will drive unsubscribes for you. However, those three keywords of stop, cancel, and subscribe are the ones that you're absolutely mandated to abide by.
And it's probably important, Boris, to add that you don't want this to be a secret, right? You don't want it to be just in the eyes of IT.
Right.
Your agents have to be able to see that, because if they do, let's say they start an SMS and they want to stop, and they might not say just stop,
right,
but you know you're having it, the agent might need to be to revoke that consent.
That,
they
that's
know, hey,
true too.
Let's
that's
not
good,
send that there.
Yeah, anymore. That's a good point as well that Jim's bringing up, that sometimes the conversation may lead you down this path and somebody needs to take quick action. Fair point.
Yeah, or they need to reactivate it, right?
That's
they need
right.
to say, look, we can see they might be on a conversation. I didn't get my appointment reminder. I didn't get
right.
my payment reminder. Oh, sir, it's because you unsubscribed. All you'll need to do is go back and go to stop
start.
Or start. Yeah, so you need to show that to the agents. And then you also need to make sure that in your orchestration, that's all taken into consideration. So make sure that you find a platform that's looking at it. When you revoke consent for SMS, it doesn't necessarily mean they're telling you to stop calling. So that's also important to make sure that you can manage consent on the channel for the consumer instead of just broadly revoking consent.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, those are all the questions we have in the queue. So, and we've just about reached the top of the hour. So I think all the stars are aligning that. So we'll wrap this up. Jim, Boris, awesome job. I really want to thank you one last time for your sharing your insights today. Also want to thank Revenly one last time for sponsoring today's webinar. I hope everyone can go to www.revenly.io to learn more about the company. Thanks to everybody who participated, who asked questions. A recording of this event will be posted hopefully by tomorrow to accountsrecovery.net's webinar recordings page. And I hope everyone stays tuned to accountsrecovery.net for news and more webinars in the very near future, including more webinars tomorrow and Friday. Boris, Jim, awesome job. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Excellent. Everybody take care. Thanks. Enjoy the rest of your day.